Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We are proud to have you tune in with your continued support, and we are so happy to bring you content that can help you and your business. Speaking of that, our guest tonight, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Rochelle Shaw, and I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Rochelle, I can't wait to get this interview started, and I want everybody to know how they can contact you.
Perfect. They can reach me either at my website, which is www.Rochelle, R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Shaw, S-H-A-W, marketing.com. There's a sidebar where it says contact Rochelle, or there's an email, or they can sign up for my e-newsletter that comes out.
Now, Rochelle, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from and where you're at?
Sure. I am originally from Southern California. I grew up in Riverside, which is about an hour outside of L.A. I went to college at UCLA. Basically, I went there because I went to high school with Reggie Miller, and I decided that he went there to play basketball, so I said, well, I might as well. That was the only college I applied to. My parents were pretty upset about that, as well as my father, who went to USC, but that's where I graduated from, and then I moved to Las Vegas for free rent. Got here because my mother moved here, and I've been here since 1991.
Wow. So from California to Las Vegas.
Yeah, from hot to hotter.
What I was thinking, because I've been in Riverside and I've been in Las Vegas, and I know how hot it gets down there. Now, before we get started in this interview, I'd just like to ask you a question about your name, because it's Rochelle, and I've met a lot of Michelles, and actually met a Michelle. So how did your name come about? Do you have an idea or the story behind
it? Yes, actually, my father's name is Richard, and I was supposed to be a boy. And so they were all set on me being a boy, and surprise, it was a girl, and so they had to figure out how to go ahead and still name me after my father, but without all of the other stuff. So that's why it's R-I. So everybody screws it up. They spell it with an A. They spell it with an O. But basically, it's very easy, just like Michelle, but with an R.
Wow. Well, I tell you what I like about your name is the first four letters.
Absolutely. And then, you know, L in French is girl, so it still just means rich girl, so I love that.
Wow. So you know what? Let's talk about your passion. What's your passion about?
My passion, you know, my passion truly is when I was younger, I really wanted to be an entertainer, to be perfectly honest. And then I changed later because I pretty much found out that ooh, that was going to be a whole lot of work, and I couldn't really control what was going to happen to me. So I started in business. Business was what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn how to make a whole lot of money really fast. And so I really started to focus on, okay, here's the thing. How do I do this? How do I make money? I worked for several great, great entrepreneurs coming up who pretty much just said, all right, Rochelle, you want to learn this? Here, let me show you how this goes. They opened up a world of brand new opportunities. But lately, my passion is helping women of color build businesses. I was, you know, part of my introduction, I guess I should have told you that I am the only female African-American public utility owner in the nation. I own a company called Fresh Start Telephone, and we provide local long-distance and cellular service in Las Vegas to credit-challenged customers. I've been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, Black Enterprise, actually in the June edition with Oprah Winfrey. I'm featured on the Weekend Entrepreneur blog right now. If you Google me, you'll see my article in USA Today, several other things. But basically, I was involved in a study for the Center for Women Business Owners, and they were doing a study on women of color businesses. And what we found is that women of color open businesses 5 times more often than anyone else in any other category, whether it be Caucasian, whether it be males, but we only reach about the $250,000 level. And so they wanted to know why we were having challenges breaking through. Of course, a bank was the one who funded the study, and they said, well, the reason is because access to capital. And I kind of said, I don't think that's the reason. I think that, you know, it's easy. Well, to me, it was easy to build to $250,000, basically through networking, through some really great connections, and staying on top of things and running an efficient business. But in order for me to get to the $2 million mark, I really had to create systems and put systems in place. So that's actually been my passion, is to now stop especially women of color, but most business owners, from thinking that the only way I can build this business is I need to get a loan, or I need to get an investor, or I need to get anything else. Because the way I show you how to do it is how to just step-by-step build your business.
You know, one of the things that you said that many of our big thinkers speak on is systems. And I tend to follow your train of thought and your idea in that manner, because you can easily get money. I mean, just having great credit and a decent idea can get you money, but it's the system build, you know, in place to continuously be able to grow that's always going to take you, you know, a lot further than just having money and, you know, putting it into what you want to do. Now, so is that how you got started in the telephone biz, just by people opening up to you, or what was your specific start in that?
Well, when I got to Las Vegas, I was dating 3 men in 3 different states, and I had a really high phone bill.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened. I know. You know, the only reason why I went to a specific college was running behind some boy. But, you know, girls have that problem sometimes. I'm totally cured of that. But that's actually what happened. I'm sitting here in Vegas, and I was calling all of these guys. And so I met a guy who was the vice president of the telephone company at the time, and he told me, you know, Rochelle, you should come work for us. And I said, most people think so. He's like, no, you really need to come and sell telephone service. Well, I said, well, why don't I switch my service to you first, and we'll see what happens. Switch my $300 phone bill was reduced to about $55 the first month. And I went, it's a half-month bill, don't get me wrong, this is just crazy. Well, the next month, it was $50 again. And that's when I said, okay, not only will I come to work for you, but I'm going to leave my service on you too. When I started, the company was doing about $300,000 a year in annual revenue, in total long-distance revenue. I was promoted 6 times in 5 years to director of operations, director of sales, vice president of operations, executive vice president. Basically, I ended up buying the company from my boss. I took them from $300,000 to $36
million. Wow.
And he came to me because we were trying to go public. And he said, you know, Rochelle, here's a problem, because I also was young at the time. I was about 28. And he said, you know, NASDAQ is not ready for you. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you know, it's not about you being an African-American woman. It's about our ability to raise money. And people have to feel comfortable with you in order to invest in our company. And we need a Caucasian male that's, you know, a family man in order to make this work. And so it kind of hurt my feelings, but I got over it. And I said, okay, well, he brought in this guy, and the guy basically just kind of ran our company into the ground. And so best thing to ever happen, though, because now I was sitting there, and I was able to buy the scraps from him. Of course, we still weren't doing $36 million, but I sold off several entities so that he got a large chunk. And then I took over the only profitable piece of the business and was continuing to grow it. I went from 52 employees down to 6, got rid of all the people who didn't like me, who talked about me behind my back, and who weren't really essential, and kept just my core group. Everything was fantastic, and then 9/11 happened.
Wow.
And I lost everything. Yeah. I was, you know, young and partying here in Vegas 24 hours, wasn't paying attention to my business, and I basically lost, I mean, every single dime. And so I had to file bankruptcy. Extremely humiliating, extremely embarrassing. I had, you know, lots of real estate. I had a fourplex, a triplex, you know, because I was balling as far as I was concerned. But it all went away. So I had to figure out, you know, how to rebuild the business again. And that's basically what I did. I rebuilt it back to over $1 million in about 5 months.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you mentioned 9/11, because 9/11 was a big turning point for many, not only American lives, but lives across the country. I remember that year I had left my job to basically work my own business. I left August 23rd, the day before my birthday. And, I mean, who knew that 2.5, 3 weeks later that this would happen? And, you know, the same thing happened with me. I'd made so much money in that little amount of time that it was just almost impossible.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, it was refunding some, and nobody knew what was going to happen in the country, and everybody was scared, whereas, you know, all of our bills were still going to happen every single month.
Absolutely. No summer skips, no Easter skips. That's what my mother says. You know, they still come no matter what. And before, you know, in the telephone business, something that's different about some other industries is that the bill is constantly running. It takes about 30 days, and especially back then, you know, 2001, it takes about 30 days in order for me to get your call records. So then I have to bill them, and you get 30 days to pay. So I'm always in the whole 60 days before you've made your first payment. Here's the deal, too, is that the way that it works is I have to pay your bill whether you pay me or not. I'm on the hook. So I can't just tell them, well, you know what, Big didn't pay his bill, so I shouldn't have to pay you. You know, if I allow someone to go 90 days, which definitely was what was happening during, you know, the unstableness of what was going on in the economy, people either weren't paying or they were scared and they were closing their businesses and they were going, trying to find a job, just all sorts of things were just impacting my ability to run my business. And before I knew it, I owed, you know, $2.5 million to one carrier. And if I didn't file the bankruptcy, they were going to file it anyway and take over my company. So, you know, I had to do whatever I could just to protect my family at that point.
Now, with all of that experience, one thing I'd like to point out that you said earlier was with the company going public, NASDAQ wasn't ready for you. When here it is, you had already proven yourself. You just weren't married, I guess. You didn't, you know, have someone that you was with, and you were a woman, which the African-American part didn't quite matter. But if people would have looked at your numbers and made their business decision based off that, I think that would go a longer way than just hiring somebody to come in who really didn't build or was responsible for bringing the organization what you brought to it. So I'm glad that you were able to overcome that and you didn't let it really get you down and you was able to do what you did. Now, with the experience that you have, you know, I can see that that would make you a different type of coach, because you have been there, you lost it, you're back. What other things dealing with your experience makes you, you know, different from other coaches who may be out there?
Well, you know, I didn't go to coach you and go and do all this thing with everybody else. You know, my business evolved and people constantly asked me questions. They would say, okay, how do you do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? And I ended up would give them my opinion. And so that's I kind of morphed into the coaching arena. And I meet coaches every single day and they come up to me and they say, you know, well, you know, what's your plan and what's your system? And I go, okay, yeah, I do have a system and one that works great for me. But here's what I always want to ask, and I tell all of the people that I coach and everybody else is that, you know, when you're looking at a coach, you know, ask them about their core business, not the coaching business or not their consulting business that they're doing right now, because it's very easy to sell people on a dream. Okay, it's really easy. I mean, that's the easiest sell of a lifetime, is to tell them that if they just pay you this amount of money, that in, you know, 3 months they're going to be a millionaire. You know, but ask them about their core business. What did they do before that? You know, most of them, well, I worked in corporate branding for Nabisco, or I was a, you know, they all had a job and then decided to become a coach. They never experienced the fact where you have to put payroll on a credit card like I did, you know, or you're scared, you know, you would scared to go to the office. I would get there extra early around the 5th if I hadn't paid the rent to make sure that I could take the notice off of the door in case they were coming to close. You know, if you've never dealt with those things, if you've never been garnished by the IRS like my company was at one point, you know, and I had to go and fight to get them to release my payroll money, if you've never experienced that, then you can't tell me anything about running a business, because you're not really in the trenches. And that's what makes me a different coach, is that I've been in the trenches. I've been there. I've been embarrassed. I've been, you know, oh, my goodness, how could this happen to me? I understand the key things that you have to do to build a business. Sorry, I know you're about to ask me a question.
Every now and then we have a caller that may call in. We have a caller from the 209 area code with 518. Caller, please state your name, where you're from, and if you have a question or comment, make that. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Thomas Abdul-Salam. I was just listening to your guest there, though, is about being in the trenches, because I've sort of been there too, like that. But, you know, what is it that people really need to understand as they just decide, you know what, I want to pursue this dream of being in business? What are some of the things that they can really begin to understand?
And Thomas, did you tell our listeners where you're from?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm Stockton, California, but actuality right now I'm calling out of Dallas, Texas here, vacationing in Dallas.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, I did. I think I understand your question to be, you know, what should we know before we start going into business? And the first thing I always tell everybody to do is go sell to people, not your relatives, not your brothers, not your cousins, but to independent people that you don't know. Go sell them on either your product or service and see what happens, see what they say. You know, the reason why that's really good is, number one, you know, you're not going to be able to hire salespeople in the beginning, and nobody sells your product or service better than you. And then the second thing is that if they buy, then at least we know that you do have a viable product or service, that it's not just some pie-in-the-sky dream or idea, but you've actually gotten somebody to pay you for your products or service. Because, you know, I watch people do what I happen to be a chubby girl, by the way. And whenever I decide I'm going to go on a diet, I'll go and I'll get a gym membership. I'll get new sneakers. I will start, you know, I'll clean out my refrigerator. I do all of these things to get ready. But the bottom line is, if I'd actually get my fat butt up and walk around the block twice, okay, I would lose way more weight than all of the stuff that I get to prepare. And so I watch new business owners do all these things to prepare. They go and get a pretty logo. They say, I have to have a website, got to have a website. You know, they put the website up. They do all these things to prepare, but they've never sold an actual customer.
Right.
And that's what you need to do first. So that's what I would suggest.
If I may interject there, I guess, you know, what I call people, tell people, you know, just the things you're talking about, just going with your example of losing weight, is that, you know, we spend a lot of time in activity but very little bit in action, you know, taking the real action steps. But we do a lot of activity but very few action steps to get us where we want to go.
And it makes it appear that we're busy, you know, all that running around. It convinces us that we're doing something when we're in actuality just kind of avoiding the big issue.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what it is. I mean, you know, the whole avoidance kind of a thing, you know, that people
mm-hmm.
are maybe afraid of
and
success or something, you know.
Absolutely.
So, but I think you're right. A lot of people are very busy, but they want to be busy, and I think they kind of perceive being in business as being a busybody, you know, kind of a thing. But anyway, but I appreciate your comments. So.
Sure, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Now for our public service announcement. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Can you please get out your information one more time, how people can reach you, and then we'll start talking about the book that you've written.
Sure. They can go to www.richelle, which is R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Shaw, S-H-A-W, marketing, marketing.com. If you scroll down, that's my blog there. There is a place where you can get a free chapter of my book, basically where you can just kind of see if I'm really talking about all the great things, which is the top 10 mistakes business owners make when trying to get to $1 million business. So that one's always fun to check out. But that's the easiest way to contact me. There's email information there. There's everything, as well as a phone number where you can get me.
Okay. Richelle, what's the actual name of your book?
Sure. My book is called How to Build a $1 million Business in Las Vegas Without the Casinos.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Is this specifically titled that way because maybe I have to live in Las Vegas to make your plan work, or can I live anywhere?
Yeah, sure, you can live anywhere. It was really titled that way based on marketing research that we did after I was finished with the book. We found that Las Vegas is still really sexy. People want to know, and even – not only my story, I didn't just like go to one of the casinos and got a big account. I didn't deal at all with them because I found as if they were slow pays and they would reduce my rate so much that I couldn't make any money. So basically the casino part can be interchangeably worked with, whether it be big business, whether it be a gal from Flint, Michigan sent me an email and said, hey, you know, Rochelle, how can I not deal with the auto industry? And so it's just basically synonymous with big business, government, you know, somewhere where you're just trying to go and land one big customer to make it for you. You know, I show you how to find as many customers as you need and build your business so that for sustainability, so that in case that one casino or the government contract or the military contract is gone, you know, what are you going to do now? So that's what really why the title is the way it is now.
Now, Thomas, he's one of our hosts that come on, and I just want to know, Thomas, did you have any other questions or comments, or were you going to take part in the interview?
I'm probably not going to take too much more time. I'm actually had to get in the car and start driving, but I do want to try to maybe hold on and kind of listen as long as I can.
Sure.
I don't want to interfere with my noise in the car, interfering with the interview here, but I do want to stay on and listen for a little while.
All right, well, you know how that mute works on the phone, so.
I'll put you on mute right now, okay?
All right.
You guys enjoy.
Thanks.
Now, is the info in your book duplicatable?
Absolutely. You know, you talked about systems earlier, and that's really what took my business from ordinary to extraordinary, was that I put in total systems. There's a 5-point system that basically is how to build the $1 million business. You know, I have my 3 R's, which is reactivate is the first thing. That's my favorite thing to do as soon as I go and meet a business owner who's struggling now. Is like, okay, where are all those customers that you used to have that you haven't been in touch with? Let's contact them. The second one is retention, how to hang on to the existing customers that you have. And the third one is referral. Everybody says, oh, I ask for referrals. Well, my referral is a referral system so that I know exactly what happens when a new referral comes in. You know, I send a thank you gift to the person who referred and the new sales letter to the new person coming in. We go through, you know, a step-by-step process so that it's not just random and sporadic. After you do those 3 R's, then I really focus on new customer acquisition. And that's basically on when I first started in the telephone business, we only had one way to get a new customer, and that was by sending out a salesperson. Well, you know, I figured out after 9/11 that that's not going to work anymore. And I had to really figure out how can I have multiple ways to bring in a new customer. I now don't know one way to bring in 84 customers, but I know 84 ways that consistently every single month bring in a new customer. And I talk about those in my book also about, you know, here's what I did. For example, as I went to places where my customers would be, I know that my customers are credit challenged. So I formed partnerships and referral specifically partnerships with credit counselors, with bankruptcy attorneys, all people that had tons of customers who needed my service. Once we went there, then I was able to, you know, build from there, but they were constantly sending in new customers to me every single month so that I don't have to worry about, you know, buying large ads, doing full page, because I just basically didn't have any money to do that. But I knew that that's where my customers hung out. So I've got 84 different ways that I brought in a customer. And then the last piece of the star is in my five-star system is in the multimedia constant marketing funnel, is that, you know, I don't just do one thing. As I said, I do a lot of stuff simultaneously so that, you know, not only are they getting follow-ups in direct mail, email, and voice blast, and if I have a fax number, if it happens to be a business, which I do have several of those, I send a fax to them. It's just they are getting touched in so many ways throughout the month that they can't help but love us and like us and come back to our service over and over and over again.
You
so
know, I like.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I like what you're telling our listeners, because one of the things that, you know, a lot of the businesses don't do is have that many different ways to reach not only new clients but existing clients. And it all really goes back down to one of the key points that you mentioned, which was systems. You
mm-hmm.
know, and multitasking is a very easy thing to do if you have one system that can cover all of those different things. I can see how you're so successful. How would you tell our listeners, what would be your biggest advice once you're getting started? And let's say somebody just went through all the other things with the logo and this, that, all the things, getting ready to start their business. Once they feel that, okay, this is what I needed to do to get started, and they happen to do that, and now they're ready to get started, what would be your biggest advice to keep them in business or focused?
I would say find some great referral partners. I mean, just like the ones that I described, you know, those are somebody who can bring in consistently new business to you, and that you need to form relationships. It's free to reach out to them, you know, to take them to lunch. I have a fun one that I do because I also run a monthly coaching marketing meeting where I teach entrepreneurs, and so it's really fun that I'll go to people who have a large amount of them. So, for example, there's a CPA in my group who, you know, she only does small business owners. So instead of her having to pay for an event, I will take all of her clients to lunch or invite them in groups of 20. What she gets is she's really excited that it's a thank you luncheon to all of her clients who have been with her for a while, and then she allows me to do 10 or 15 minutes just on how to, you know, additional business building secrets. So it's an easy way for me to get in front of 20 potential customers for me that are existing customers for her. So it's like, okay, well, that makes sense, but so many business owners are sitting there trying to just get new ones every day by saying, okay, well, if I'll just, you know, pay for some radio ads, not that, you know, we're not on the radio today and it's not important to do radio advertisement. When I first came back into the business and made some money, I was spending about $10,000 a month in radio. And it was because my back end wasn't there. My follow-up wasn't there. I was just dealing with the people who called the first time, and we were trying to sell them over the phone. Well, I changed that out. And a really quick story, because I realize that we do have time constraints, is that we started doing a free activation contest so that when the customer calls into to ask for new service, we ask them for their name and address to make sure that we provide service in their area. They're always willing to give it to us. And then after we're done, we say, you know, thank you very much. Are you interested in signing up for our services? They say, well, I'm calling around. We say, fantastic. You know, here are some questions that you need to make sure you ask everybody else, which is, of course, they don't give great answers like we do because we've practiced those questions. But we also that same day send out a postcard to them and ask them would they like to be in our free activation drawing. And every week we give away a free activation. Well, what happens is those people raise their hand and say that they want our service, but they just may not have the $80 for the activation right then, or they want to see if they can get it for free. With that, we give away the person who wins, but here's the kicker, is that we send everybody else who enter the contest a second place winner. And so we say, okay, here's your prize for being second place winner, is we'll give you a discount off of our service, but you have to come and sign up by Wednesday, right? They knock down our doors on Wednesday.
Wow.
On Wednesday, you can't breathe in our office because they now – by that time, they realize that everybody won second prize, right? And they go, hey, you won second, I won second, I won. But so what? They don't care. They're just happy that they got a discount coupon off of our service. So I only had to give one $80 away, but I got, you know, 72 other ones to come in with the discount. So we drive everybody, even the people who come as referrals from the bankruptcy attorneys, from the credit counselors, they all come into the same funnel and we send out the activation drawing to them so that we get them to take one more step and raise their hand. Well, that's changed my, you know, my radio dollars tremendously because I'm doing the same or more business per month with only spending about $800 in radio. And it's all because I have a system and I have a step-by-step process of what happens once we capture the lead.
Now,
it just doesn't go into a file. Oh, go ahead. Ask your question. Sorry.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
How would you view your quiet time and when you were designing a system and even now? Is that important to you? And what do you do as far as now when you want to because new things are happening across the world, you know, at this very minute. What do you do to just kind of relax just to get more ideas? Can you share that with our listeners and maybe the importance of it?
Sure. Well, it definitely is important, and I don't know if you read all the stuff about me, but how I originally determined that I needed to figure this thing out was I got sick. I was in the hospital three times in over 2 years. I had two surgeries and a baby. So it was, who knew? I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to go in for a hysterectomy, and turns out that I was pregnant. Wow. You know, I tried to have a baby for years, never had one, and then all of a sudden, as soon as, you know, it was time to just go get everything sucked out, I was pregnant. So I was stuck at home, and I had to figure out these systems because even when I took over the company and bought it from my boss and then even restarted, I didn't take my executive level assistants. You know, I took the people who were in the trenches with me. So I took the customer service reps and people who weren't used to managing so that because I felt like I could manage them better. So when I finally had to take myself out of the equation, that was the best thing to ever happen because I was at home, you know, 6 weeks. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't leave. I couldn't manage my staff. I couldn't, you know, micromanage them and don't say that, do this. I had to actually put the systems in place. And even now, I try never to go in the office, never. You know, my job, my one and only job is to sit back when it's quiet and make sure that I am doing cutting-edge marketing and bringing in customers. They know how to take it from there. Now, we do have weekly meetings where they tell me different ideas and different things that are going on. For example, one of my customer service reps, her son went to jail, and she was sitting at the bail bondsman. And so here she is sitting at the bail bondsman, and the gal two seats down from her was telling her friend, you know, the only place where they let you talk to your man in jail is if you use Fresh Start telephone. And so she came back to kind of say, hey, Rochelle, you know, even at the bail bonds when they're talking about us. And I said, well, you know what? That would be a great referral partner. So I went after all the bail bondsmen at that point and told them, look, you know, these people are in there. They need a place where they can talk to their loved ones in jail and not lose their telephone service. So why don't we create a partnership? I never really paid them back money based on their referrals. I had this program where if you refer 10 people, you get a plasma television. And so they were excited just to take the plasma television. So, you know, those ideas come from being able to hear and listen and going to a quiet place. I mean, you know, I think all your listeners know because they're think big, you know, they've read Michael Gerber and know the E-Myth and know that you need to, you know, not work in it and work on your business. And those things are so essential. And we get caught up in what we think our real job is. But really, as an owner, our job is to be a marketer and to bring in new customers. That's what our job is.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Can you please get out your information? Because I believe that it's very essential for our listeners who are listening now and who may be listening later to be able to reach you.
Sure. You can go to www.Rochelle, R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Shaw, S-H-A-W, marketing, marketing.com. And there is a place, it's my blog that I, tons of articles there that I've written, as well as if you scroll down a little bit, there is a place where you can get a free chapter of my book, as well as, of course, you can buy it there. Or I think I'm doing a teleseminar for someone else, or you can sign up to join us on a teleseminar where you can ask additional questions. But, you know, that's the easiest way. My phone number is there on the site, too, as well as my email information.
Okay. Now, for our listeners out there who are entrepreneurs, and, you know, as we've determined, that there are more African American women starting businesses, but there's just a small portion of them that's making it over the 250,000 mark, and that one of the things that they maybe should do is really take a step back, remove themselves from the equation, and create a better system and learn how to market their business to make it to that level. Can you explain to us the feeling that you had when you realized that you just did your first million? What was that like? Was that a goal for you to reach a million, or was your goal to just get as high as you can and the million just came?
Well, you know, I do have to say that it just came. I am not an accounting person, okay? I mean, I truly am. I had gotten rid of my chief financial officer and 'cause he didn't get to make the leap from the previous company to mine. So believe it or not, I wasn't even using QuickBooks. I was using Quicken because I only had like 15 vendors that I wrote checks to every month, and the rest of the time everything was pretty much easy. After your carrier bill, I only had to pay employer expenses. So it was September 2004.
Wow.
When I actually kind of looked at it. I mean, because even after 9/11, I kind of just sat kind of idle for a while and didn't, you know, that was in 2001, and 2002 kind of came, and I wasn't really business building. I was just kind of playing and dabbling and trying to kind of survive, really. But when I finally decided that, okay, 2004, you know what, I'm going to get these people back together and I'm going to target this and build it. What actually happened, too, is that I sold off a customer base, and I was still getting money in. So I didn't really have to work. I just kept getting a commission, but it was dwindling and dwindling. So I realized that, okay, I've got to restart this business. And so I actually clicked on how many deposits I had made, because I only like to count money that's in the bank, not money that, you know, folks will like to put the sales all on their thing. And because I had credit challenged folks, you know, that can be distorted. you know, yeah, okay, I billed 100,000, but what if only 60,000, you know, paid me per month? So it didn't make. I just wanted to see what my deposits were for the year up until that September, and it was $947,000.
Wow.
And I said, I deposited $947,000. I mean, I knew that things had gotten easier. You know, that they weren't as difficult as they were, and that I did have extra money left at the end of the month, but I had no idea that really I had gotten that far. And this was like, you know, in the beginning of September, I still had three more months, and we ended that year at 1.3, and then from there it just kept building and building and built because I finally had the systems in place. It wasn't, you know, what I tell a lot of entrepreneurs right now is that you have a good sales job if you don't have any systems, and every dollar that comes in is dependent on you to follow up, to bring it in, to get the check. If that's it, then all you have is a sales job. And let me tell you something, there's much easier, you know, go and sell RVs. You know, the commissions are huge, or go and sell real estate. You know, you can easily make a ton of money without all of the overhead that you're paying and employee taxes and all of those things. So if you want a good sales job, then that's what you need to go do. But don't just, you know, not have the systems in place so that you can remove yourself, because even you won't have a saleable asset. You know, if you ever want to get out of this, or if something happens to you like me, you don't have anything that you can sell because you are everything in this company.
Right.
One so it made things, it much easier for me. Go ahead.
One of the things I like what you said was that when you decided, because a lot of people, they don't realize that they have the power to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was one of the biggest things that you said tonight, not to downplay anything else, because you've been, you know, letting us, you know, hear a lot about, you know, education and building wealth, was that when you decided. So I'd like for all of our ThinkBigRadio.com listeners to, you know, really let that sink in, that you said you decided.
Yeah, I finally just made, really. And you know, I've been doing that for a long time, and I think that's probably the first thing, you know, that an entrepreneur has to do, is just make the decision. Early in my life, I really wanted to be a stand-up comedian. And
wow.
I was, you know, out on the circuit and doing all these kind of crazy stuff. You know, come on. You're in L.A., so why not? And I met, you know, Bernie Mac, I met Chris Tucker, I met all these guys, and they were saying that, look, you know what, Rochelle, you have to get a you know, a pack of jokes, and then you tell the same ones every single night. And I was like, that is not fun. You know, that's not fun. It's so much more fun to be spontaneous. And so I ran into Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy said to me, you know, you can't have a backup. Because I said, you know, what's your best advice? And he said, you can't have a backup.
Yep.
You know, what are you doing now? I said, well, you know, I'm about to graduate from UCLA, da, 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 da. He goes, okay, you have a backup, but you can't have one because this business is so difficult. And you need to work every day like you don't have a backup. And what I found was that, you know, especially after the bankruptcy, I had to work every day like there wasn't a backup because I didn't have a backup. I had nothing.
Rochelle, I just want to let you know, I would love to have you on again. This show is winding down so fast, but once again, you can't have a backup. You have to work it like it's your life. Is there anyone that you would like to thank?
Thank. Gosh, there's everybody, you know. There's so many people that have been instrumental in building me. First, I'd like to thank you, of course, today for having me on. But, you know, my parents have been phenomenal. My mother is the love of my life. You know, my kid who allows me to work at 7 o'clock at night when I'm supposed to be with her. You know, there's been so many, and God has been everything to me. You know, they said that he can dream a bigger dream than you could ever dream for yourself, and that's so the truth every day.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com. Where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You just heard Rochelle Shaw. Of course, we'd love to have her on again, because it seems like this interview never should have ended. But until next time, think big, everyone.